This is your host, Brandon Chubb, and you're listening to the Highlights Podcast, where we highlight individuals' unique stories, perspectives, and journeys.
Expecting going to the ground to Donald, Brandon Chubb.
What comes to mind when you hear the word highlights? Maybe touchdowns, dunks, home runs? Well, every week, my guest who joins me on this podcast has touchdown dunks or home runs in their everyday career, industry, or community.
No gain on the play, and that's Brandon Chubb again.
Every week, a new guest will get highlighted, so press play, turn the volume up, enjoy, and share it.
This is highlights.
Brandon, welcome to the pod, man. Glad you could join me. You're one of the guests I wanted to have on here for a while, just because of when I started this highlight podcast. A person like you was the thesis, right? Being able to do something in their professional career that's outstanding and needs to be highlighted, but also handling business and other aspects of life. And that's on the football field, that's in your foundation and all that stuff we'll get into later. But first, I want to, you know, congratulate you on the community MVP. I just saw it on my Instagram a couple hours before the call.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, brother. It's a collaboration, man. We bring people together and do something outside yourself. You know, it's nice when people notice, but hopefully it's just setting an example for people in our community to start thinking about how can we collaborate more so we can go further as opposed to trying to just slug it out ourselves, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And so we'll get to that later because that was through Beyond the Basics, your foundation, but just to kind of intro to the listeners, how I know you, right? So getting on to Detroit Lions, my rookie year, I was on practice squad with the Rams and got picked up by Detroit and was on their practice squad. You were a linebacker at the time. You were kind of a utility player, right? You played linebacker on goal line. You played DN coming off the edge, usually in base. And it was one of those things where we had a mutual friend in common, Hunter Goodwin, the Goodwin family. Yeah. Went to your alma mater, Gilman High School. And they had spoken about you before, and I never put two and two together. We get on the Lions, and it just kind of happened like that, right? And so we went through that process of being teammates for a year and a half, had Thanksgiving with you and Hyder that one time, and, you know, met your now wife at the time. So just being able to get you on a pod, man, as somebody, and you probably noticed somebody who a lot of people look up to, but myself as well, right? Just the way you handle your business. We kind of have a similar story, right? Going into the NFL and not really having that Hollywood kind of fairy tale start, but making it and really using that platform to do other things for ourselves outside of, you know, putting on pads. So I kind of want to start with your background, because the biggest thing that's interesting to me is you went to UPenn, right? An Ivy League school. So can you just talk about your journey to that and how, one, UPenn, and two, just the experience there for you as a football player juggling the Ivy League schedule?
Yeah, man, it was so Penn, it's funny because I never, ever, ever, ever in a million years thought I'd be going to an Ivy League school. You know, I remember my college counselor brought it up to me. I'm like, man, I'm trying to play big time football. You tripping. But I remember in high school, third to last game, my coach throws me out on kick return. I did not play special teams at all. It's funny how that's been my career at this point. But I'm like, you know, I'm captain of the team. You got to do it. Do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. And one of my own teammates falls on the back of my leg, and it just pops. I remember my ankle pops, and I'm just limping around. And I'm playing the rest of the season, but it's not the same. Like, I can feel like this thing ain't really holding up the way it should be. And so that was the time for me where I was like, you know, it's true what everybody's been saying, that you're literally one play away from this thing being done. And so I have an opportunity to go to Penn. Let me do it. And my grandfather, he played in the league for 11 years, and he always say, hey, like, if you're good enough, the NFL will come find you. And so that was kind of like the vote of confidence that I needed to take that leap of faith. From a football standpoint, it's nothing like the Alabamas and all that type of stuff, but it is a program where the resources that the school does have, they are trying to pour into you. So you know, I was fortunate to have a great college career there, a great time there. We won 3 championships in 4 years, and we're always playing for the championship. People like to call us the Alabama, the Ivy League. That was really just us calling ourselves that. But, you know, I think on the other hand, it was monumental in terms of the exposure that I got to the way business works. So I went to the Wharton School of Business, which is at that time number one business school in the country, still one of the top business schools in the country, but I had no idea what I was actually getting myself into. And I remember when the coach came to my high school to tell me, like, man, you want to do business? You got to come to Wharton. Like, I'm like, Wharton? Who's Wharton? Like, right. Coach, he gonna come here too? Like, what you talking about? But when I realized that there's people who, the same way guys we play with in the league are like, I've dreamed of coming to play for the Lions, the Rams, the Falcons, whomever, right? That's how these people have been when it comes to going to the Wharton School of Business. And on spring break, I remember that was one of the funniest things. On spring break, overhearing people's conversations, like, what you doing for spring break? Oh, I'm standing here studying. I'm studying for finals, right? Like, I got to do X, Y, Z. Like, what? What are you doing? Right. But I think the crazy opportunity I had, though, was to use that competitive mindset on the field. And now, just by luck of the draw, just by being exposed to people coming back from the summer talking about, oh, I had this internship at Morgan Stanley, or I worked here, or I did this, I got paid this per hour, whatever. Now I'm like, Tony, you did what? You got paid $30 right. an hour? Hold up, what? Right. Doing? Right. Nah, let me, somebody put my resume in there. Like, let me talk to somebody, right? And so that was an experience that, hands down, is probably one of the most monumental experiences of my life, because, you know, one of the things I tell kids all the time, you know, we're so, our community, we're just so, it's athlete, it's ball player, football, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? Or as, you know, the old adage, it's drug dealer, right?
Right.
But when you realize that, like, there's somebody who owns the team that has never played a snap of football, probably. <Yeah, laughs> you know what I'm saying? Facts. Like, they're paying everybody's salary and their back doesn't hurt. They don't have them bruises. They ain't had to sit through a pec surgery. And you kind of, you know, once you pair that with just a natural thirst for knowledge, right. It's kind of like, oh, like, well, let me explore that a little bit more. And so, again, I was just fortunate to be in a place where that was the Alabama football. Them right. going to work in finance, going to start their own right. companies, work in venture. That's their pinnacle. That's the Alabama. And I'm right. just the guy sitting there taking notes.
Right. No, and it's interesting you say that, because you think of a Wharton, like me at 27 years old, right? Thinking about going to Wharton School of Business. It's you know, in somebody in my career, in my profession or whatever it may be, my age, that's a dream. Like you said, that's going to Alabama and getting recruited as a 5-star. And then you mm-hmm. think of just other people who've had that opportunity. And you, like you said, you mentioned being around business, hearing the things that they're saying, hearing how they talk, hearing how business works and the things that they're doing in their career. And you're focused on, you know, making it to the league or whatever that may be, but you're realizing that, one, there's more things out here that business can afford for you. Right. And like you said, I think that's a great point that a lot of people don't realize. That owner ain't having CTE, that owner ain't having mm-hmm. anesthesia, you know, because he had 2 surgeries or 3 surgeries, and to be able to use that to your advantage. Right. And I think that's one thing you do that's good is, you have a platform, you have this stage where people want to be around you. People want to, you know, say they met Coach. People want to pick up your phone and take a picture with you. And I think that's the beauty of it, is you use that to leverage to open more doors for yourself. Right. Yeah. I think I went to Wake Forest. So having that, it's not a UPenn, right. But it's still a great school when it comes to academic, it's high academic standards and a real low acceptance rate. But at the same time, you're around, you know, granddaughters of the American Express, you know, the owner of the Toronto Raptors, so forth and so on. So you're around these people, you build that network, and that, you know, at 27 years old, you come to appreciate a lot more. Right. in your case as well. So that's interesting that you say that, because you're a player. You think of Cal Juszczyk, who is Harvard guy, right? Yeah. And thinking about the experience and the opportunity that you guys have now, especially with the capital and the access and networks that you have, I can't imagine, you know, how that's not working dividends for you, you know, as a 5th, 6th year guy in the league and really, you know, still having a whole future ahead of you.
100%. No, 100%. Yeah, it's again, I think the biggest thing is you have to have your eyes open mm-hmm. as you're doing it, right? Like you have to be open and willing to get out of your comfort zone, right? Like you just rattled off the people, some of the people that you went to school with, and you're just naming a few, but like there's a lot of people who went to school with you and played ball with you who just, I got the blinders on. Nah, I'm not here for that. Like, all right, well, that's what you take from it. Right. Like you know, this is your life, right? You got to make it what you want it to be. And you know, we all start in different places, but part of it is just having that open mindset. One of the things that somebody has always told me one of the best pieces of advice I got on my, I was an intern at UBS, my sophomore going into my junior year of college. And sorry, I'm just shifting this around. Somebody told me, you will be able to look back on your life and measure the amount of success you have based on the amount of awkward and uncomfortable conversations you're willing to sit through today. And I was just like, you know, you do all them words, you kind of break it down. Mm-hmm. Damn. Mm-hmm. So what is he talking about? Like, yeah, when conversations are easy, if you're the smartest one in the room, you're right. not growing. You know what right. I'm saying? Like, you got to put yourself in them awkward situations. You got to be willing to get out there and ask them questions. Hey, can I shadow right. you? Hey, you got to send that email that's probably going to get turned down and say, mm-hmm. you know, no. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure about you and your wife, but like when you first asked her to date you, right? There was probably some butterflies.
Right.
Uncomfortable.
When that Ferris wheel, when I was about to pull the ring out for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're just like, whoa, like, what if she says no? Right. Like, right. And if you're not feeling that in some of your business decisions or some of your even football decisions to a certain extent, right? Some of those major decisions in your life, then you're not challenging yourself good enough. Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you say that, because I preach that a lot when I talk to people, and it's, you know, being comfortable, being uncomfortable, right? Being able to get through that. And when you're uncomfortable, it's something you can learn from it, right? And that's how I kind of see it. If I'm in these awkward conversations, if I'm on these phone calls that are, you know, the guy's like, what do you want? And I'm, you know, a young and eager guy just trying to get as much knowledge as I can, but it's mm-hmm. uncomfortable. What can I learn about that for myself, gain from it, and move forward and use that in my everyday life? So for you to mention that, I think that's paramount, right? And then also having that open mindset, because again, at 27 years old, I just keep alluding to this, because the light didn't really shine for me until I turned my ACL in 2017, right?
I remember that.
I was in this position where I never got hurt in my life. I never missed a game of football in my life. Everything I wanted to do, if it was physically possible and realistic, I could do it, right? I could overpower mm-hmm. a guy. I could lift however much in the weight room. I could do whatever. When stuff got hard, I can, you know, run head first through a lineman and just say F it and let me just blow the backfield, right? And I couldn't do that no more, right? A point where I just felt vulnerable and I really couldn't do anything. So I had to make my mind as strong and as sharp as I could, how I used to do my muscles or how I used to do in the weight room or how I used to do in the film room. So being able to use the NFLPA as a resource and do their pair program and go and sit through these networking events or reach out mm-hmm. to alums from Wake Forest and say, hey, I'm Brandon Chubb. I see you're in the area. Would love to take a phone call with you or have a lunch. And that takes vulnerability, right? Because then it comes off to them as, you know, Brandon Chubb, I thought he was in the league. Why is he emailing me for a lunch? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, you got to have that vulnerability to get to that next step and be uncomfortable. Yeah. So being able to just be around you. And like I said, looking back at it at 27 years old, it was a lot of people I didn't make relationships with that I wish I did in Wake. But, you know, mm-hmm. starting this venture capital firm that we just started, Captain Partners, all four of my partners are Wake alums, right? So now using that network and building forward, right? And like you said, being the smartest guy in the room. If I'm the smartest guy in the room, I'm in the wrong room, right? So I picked four guys that, you know, I knew could beat me in the SAT, beat me in everything but a 40, right? So being able to grow your mindset through that, I think is powerful too. So let's jump to your journey in the league, because I alluded to that earlier. We had not similar paths, but rough starts, right? Because you were on practice squad. You did CFL as well, right?
Signed up for AFL. Yeah, AFL even mm-hmm. a step below CFL. Mm-hmm. But I only ended up being there for 3 days. Didn't even actually put the pads on because I got invited to the veteran combine, which mm-hmm. is, you know, I think is God's grace, because it didn't exist before that year and it doesn't exist after. Like, that was the one year that they did it, 2015. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's funny because I'm really good friends with the guy who started the combine. It was his idea to encourage fan engagement. He works with the NFL now, Yale football player, actually. We had no idea who each other were before then, but, you know, we actually got to meet that offseason at the draft in Chicago. And you know, I just happened to tell him about my journey. He was like, hold on, you went to what? The Veteran Combine? I started that. You know, yeah. they told me it wasn't a good idea because not too many people came from it. But, mm-hmm. you know, so they ended it. But, it's pretty pleasure to meet you, you know. So he always brags about me because, you know, clearly it paid off for me. But, mm-hmm. yeah, man, practice squad. So 2013, got signed undrafted free agent to the Baltimore Ravens, my hometown team. I was, you know, extremely pissed off, to be quite honest with you. I was extremely excited to be in the NFL. But I remember the Ravens had a couple of picks in the late rounds and they had called in the fifth or sixth round and said, hey, we're going to take you after the draft if you're ready, if you're still there. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, you know, so that's kind of a slap in the face right there. Right. So I remember coming into the league with a huge chip on the shoulder. Right. Extremely proud to be playing for the team that I grew up playing for, the former Super Bowl champ. They had won the Super Bowl that year before. But what I do think, one, first and foremost, everything happens for a reason. I would not trade that experience for 100%. Anything. If I didn't have it, I wouldn't be here 8 years later today, right? What I do realize is by starting there for a championship organization with championship standards, that is what has kept me in the league so far, because I've gone to organizations and I've been like, this isn't as hard as it was over there. Like, people aren't, you know, I need to keep my standard, my standard. And when you're a hard worker, when you're ambitious, when you have bigger goals for yourself than anyone else could have for you, and you pair that with a great foundation of preparation and work ethic in terms of that organization, the way the Ravens are bred, right? The way the Patriots are bred now, it sticks with you. Because then I've seen guys on other teams where I'm like, I just feel bad that you think that this is how it really is. Right. Like, you think that right. this is a strong enough standard to keep you in the league. And if you go somewhere else, whew, good luck, man. Good luck, right? You think that this practice is hard. And it's not, right? Like, so it's just like, that is, you know, again, everything happens for a reason. That's the blessing. Went to the Baltimore Ravens practice squad, half of the year got cut, went to the Tennessee Titans practice squad, go to year two, think, okay, I got my foot in the door. This is going to be not a piece of cake, but at least now I know what to expect. Get cut after 2 weeks on the practice squad with the Tennessee Titans and sit out the rest of the season. And literally, you're not good enough, do some workouts, all that type of stuff. Hey, kid, you're just not good enough. Even though I thought I was killing the workouts, trained my ass off the entire time. Excuse my language. Trained my tail off the entire time. I remember sitting on Sunday nights watching football, Monday nights watching football, and just on the treadmill and just watching people play. And I just remember sometimes the linebacker would go down. I text my agent, hey, somebody just went down. Like, what you think? They need me, right? Like, but I also just remember running and just being pissed off. Like, y'all are telling me that everybody on this field is better than me, right? Because as you know, it's not just about linebackers. It's also like special teams. It's other things where it's like, come on, man. And so getting a chance to do the veteran combine that offseason for me, that January 1st, 2015, I told myself, you got 1 year to get back in the league. If not, use that Penn degree and we're going to make it work somewhere else. And fortunately, got the chance to go to veteran combine, had a great day at the office, ran a 4.51 laser time. And really, that's what changed everything. Went from having no teams offer me to 16 teams offer me, including some teams that had cut me before. You know, went to the Lions where obviously you and I got to cross paths and work against each other. I actually remember the day when you tore your ACL.
We was getting that work in.
We were. Yeah, it was special teams. I mean, you were going battling you, and I'm just like, man. And I actually, you know, I hope you don't mind, I use you as an example in with my football camps. I talk to the kids. I let them know. I'm like, listen, I know how many of y'all hear this, you know, plan B distracts from plan A. I don't say your name, but I tell them, like, you know, there's a guy I was playing with, and he tore his ACL. We were battling each other on punt return. I think I was on return at the time. You were on, I was on punt. I remember. Yep. And I'm like, don't tell me he was thinking about plan B in that moment when he stepped and his knee just popped. I know Chubb. He works his tail off. He trains his ass off. You know, like, it wasn't a plan B that caused that. It wasn't a plan B that caused my pec to tear. You know what I'm saying? Right. So don't think that it's that's why, you know, you can't have a plan B, you know? So, and don't even look at it as plan B, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't even look at it as, like me, I look at it as multiple plan A's. Like, I'm just operating, and people use plan B and think it's like a negative connotation, and it's a, oh man, well, you just giving up on yourself. You think you're going to fail? Nah, I just like more than one thing, bro. Like, like, I show kids this big timeline, and I'm like, and in it, there's a blacked out space from 21 to 24 and a half. I literally make two kids hold this brown piece of paper all the way across the field. And I spray paint 1 through 79 and a half, which is the average human lifespan. And they see this little bit from 21 to 24 and a half, 3.5 years. And I make them guess what that is. And they're like, oh, finally they get, you know, it's the average NFL lifespan. I'm like, look at the rest of that brown. Like, look at the rest of that open space. You can't tell me you're just interested in football.
Right.
Well, all of that space, right? There's nothing wrong with it. And so again, it, I mean, I'm just, I'm going in right now, but I'm happy to be having this conversation with you, because we've always been iron sharpens iron, you know? Right. So, so yeah, man, full circle.
And it goes back to that. Well, not goes back to, but I was going to ask you this later, but Booger McFarland, right? Cause of, Dwayne Haskins in that situation, Dwayne not really taking care of the main things, but at the same time, Booger, in my opinion, put every black athlete and young black athlete into that picture. And it kind of upset me. And one, because of somebody with that platform, but two, because of, you know, that's not fair to a Cope. That's not fair to a Brandon. That's not fair to a Josh Bond. You know, it's not fair to these guys, right? Who realize that 3.5 on that ruler is the, you know, the average of how much money I can make at the highest, you know, earning potential of my life on average. Right. And it's not fair to these other kids who look up to us, and for us to say, no, just focus on football. When you went to a UPenn, or Kyle Uchet went to a Harvard, or I went to a Wake, just focus on football. That's doing them a disservice, right? Especially coming from our community, right? Because I know kids who look up to me and say, I want to go to X, Y, and Z school and play in the NFL. And I'm thinking, well, you know, you could also do that, but go to a Harvard. You could go to a UPenn. You could go to a Wake. You could go to a Duke, right? And so shooting for those things, and really just, or you go to a Michigan, right? And just being able to not label everybody under that, because it brings that stigma that, oh, you only have to focus on plan A. That's, you know, a different anomaly, you know, case. And I just didn't think that was fair. So I'm glad you brought that up, bro, because it hurts to hear, especially going through.
Well, I think it also, you know. Yeah, no, 100%. I think it also, so like, one of the things we try to do at our football camp is like, we try to highlight you. We try to highlight, like, it's, and when I say you, I mean you, the venture capital firm founder. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's also a media issue. Because when we grow up, we look at TV and we just think that this is the only option we have to get the lifestyle that we want. We want for ourselves and our families. And it's not no 100%. Violent story. This ain't no, oh, what was us? No, this is just like, this is what we turn on and we see on TV.
Right.
We don't see media interviews, or we don't see Brandon Chubb running the venture firm and oh damn, you could still be cool and down to earth and wear what you want and talk about money and business and all those things. We don't see my roommate from college being a lawyer and going to Penn and running the Black Law Students Association at Penn and then going to working a top 10 firm in DC and still being from the hood in DC, still being dancing still to go-go music same. Which I think is
still
trash
the same.
But still but now kids are literally like, okay, cool. Like, oh, he making what? Oh, and it's not all about money. I don't want people to listen to this thinking like, oh, it's just about the money that you can make. But no, when you know that there are other options for your life, then it's not just about focusing on one thing, because they aren't saying that to other athletes, you know what I'm saying? Like, other athletes, and you know what I'm getting at, like, other athletes have different criteria, right? Like they look at us, they look at Brandon Copeland, Brandon Chubb as anomalies. Wow. You know, I still right. get on plays. Whoa, you went there?
Right.
Whoa, how'd you do right. that? Right? Like, oh, he must be smart, right? Like mm-hmm. we've heard all those things before, right? Right. And it shouldn't be that way, but it takes you and myself, it takes Josh Bynes, it takes us sharing these stories to get kids to realize like, oh, there are other ways and I can have it all and right. do what I want to do, right? And do it the right way. So,
and that's huge. Representation matters. Like you said, you don't see the other paths that you can do, right? You don't think about certain, you know, career paths. I didn't realize that till 24, right? Because nobody in my family, nobody in my circle, right? Nobody in my upbringing in my community was doing it. So I'm glad you do that. And I know I'm hitting the nail on the head, but I got to come to one of those camps, bro. I know I last minute on you last year. I had to get a new circle. So that's my bad, bro. But it sounds amazing. And I want to pull up. So let's talk about Professor Cote, right? So you're doing, you have a class at UPenn, and I want to hear more about that. And kind of just your financial wellness coaching and what you have with that as well.
Yeah. So we started class. This will be our third semester teaching it. So I teach it in the off season at Penn, as you said, and I call it Life 101. It's really called like inequities and empowerment, financial literacy, some long political, you know, class school name. Right. But it's Life 101. It's basically all these major decisions in our lives. Buying a house, credit, buying versus leasing a car, budgeting, investing, retirement investing. Hey, I got a 401k. What is it? Should I be investing in it? How much should I put into it? Should I do Roth or traditional IRA? All these things, wills and estates, right? The business of marriage. What is a healthy relationship? Let's finally have a class to talk about them. Let's finally dedicate real time towards diving into these issues, because what we say on the football field at times, right? Like, you know, the answers to the test, you know, you've studied the play, you've seen the play call, you see this guard kind of looking that way. Like, it's a run this way. You know, the answers to the test. Why would you not prepare for it? Why would you not be ready to go and make that play? We know the answers to the test. We know we're going to be faced with these decisions, yet we don't prepare for them at all. And there are different reasons why, and different reasons why the education system chooses to focus on, you know, the tangent of a 45 degree angle as opposed to me buying my first house, right? But ultimately, we've created this class so that we can talk about these things, talk about them thoroughly, and hopefully, the goal is for you to leave our course and make these decisions feeling good about them, you know, and mm-hmm. We started this class partially as a result of my own experiences of buying our first house, this house I'm in now. We bought this house and my wife called and said, hey, like, does everything look good in the paperwork before we sign? You know, I was in Detroit at the time. We went back on the bye week to do the home inspection. She was in New Jersey. I mean, I don't know. It's like 40 some pages. I don't know, but like, yeah, it looked kind of good. Like, I hope it works out, like, you know, but that's crazy that I just signed a 15 year mortgage. And I'm like, you know, you think about, somebody gave an example. If you were 16 years old and you threw your child the car keys and they had never seen the road before, right? They had never been behind a wheel before, even if they've seen a stop sign and all that stuff, but like they had never driven a car before. You just threw them the keys, said, good luck, peace. That's what we're doing to people. And not just athletes, it's everybody. And we're throwing them their first paycheck. Good luck. Whoa, I don't know how to use it. You're bound to mess that up, right? And so there's a few people who are able to bounce back from it, or a few people who have the support around them, but we want to make sure that this is just a class where you can come and you can learn about Life 101.
No, that's real. And to this day, right, I'm still going through things like that. As far as you had a class, or not a class, you did an Instagram live and I hit you up like, yo, I didn't realize I was paying this much in taxes on my mortgage, right? And how to get that down and how to, you know, do certain things. I was lucky enough when I bought my house, my mom has been in affordable housing her whole career, so she's familiar with mortgages. So I had assistance on that. But with tax stuff, with anything, you know, just Life 101, you're telling me, like you said, how to, you know, find a tangential outcome of a whatever, a circle or whatever, but being able to have everyday principles. And I think that's important. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you know, our community needs that too, right? So being able to instill that and coach that and preach that, so that can grow and be something of I guess consistent basis of teachings, right? And being able to do that. So you also have, I remember the story, I listened to Earn Your Leisure podcast. I think you spoke about it, but flipping houses and what you did in Detroit, right? You saw an opportunity and you really went out and grasped it. You can talk about that a little bit, because I know you were in Detroit for 2 or 3 years, and the market was, you know, ripe for that type of industry. So
booming. Yeah, no, it was good. We actually just got an offer on our final Detroit house yesterday. So we were actually closing up shop there and trying to do things more in New Jersey, just so that we can keep eyes on it and everything like that. But yeah, I think when I came into the league, I knew I wanted to do something, another passion at. And I wanted to create something and create a culture and run business, right? Run a business and have and make money, but have people happy making money, having fun while doing it. And I was trying to create something, but eventually I was like, it takes a lot of energy to create something. It's hard to do that while playing football, because that takes the most energy of all, right? Mm-hmm. And so I decided to get into real estate, because I figured I could learn from other people's experiences and lessen my learning curve. But then also co-invest with mentors and things like that. So did that for a few, actually like two properties in Detroit. And then I tore my pec. Mm. And so for me, just being at home, being bored in 2017, I literally went and bought 5 houses within maybe a month's time, some auction properties, some bank owned short sales and things like that. And some of these things sight unseen. And it was bad, because it was, you know, my wife at one point in time, don't buy another house, Brandon. Don't buy another. We were at like 2 or 3, right? And you know, I remember she would come home and I'd be like, man, this deal was just a little too good, babe. Like, I don't know, right? Fortunately, that year, all those properties just worked out for us. Like, you know, we ended up making a 6-figure income off with just those places that year. And you know, we were making mistakes, but we were learning. And so I was like, that's, you know, obviously when you do something and you do it and you have success with it initially, sometimes it's easier to get hooked. And so from there, we've been hooked. And I really love flips. We have a couple of rentals, but I kind of love the chase. I kind of love the chain, the designing walls and designing kitchens and picking out carpet colors and things like that. But we've started to kind of level up and actually co-invested with Tyer Whitehead and Mike Adams, a couple other players. And we've started a development company here in Newark. And so we're getting into 16 unit buildings and 40 unit buildings, and 70 unit buildings. And you know, again, for me, I'm very comfortable, confident, admitting when I'm learning a lot. Like, I don't know all that it is, you know, that there is to know. But, you know, as a video I watched the other day, a motivational video I watched the other day, you know, said sometimes you just got to say yes and just be willing to learn on the fly, you know. And I think that's just something that you and I have done very well.
No, that's awesome, bro. And great to hear that story, because I heard snippets of it, and just to dig down and really flesh it out, I think is beautiful. And then let's talk also about Beyond the Basics, because that's one thing we both have as a foundation, right? And, you know, activating human potential, your mission is similar, and being able to, you know, reach into these kids, into these youths, into whatever we're doing, right? And really bring out the full potential in these kids through our resources, right? And we have these resources, one, because of our platform, because of our profession, but two, because of just how we want to pour back into community. So I know you guys, I mentioned you were the community MVP, teamed up with a few players this holiday season and did some giving back. And I think it was $800 from Amazon, which is amazing for these families, especially during the pandemic. So just talk about why Beyond the Basics is important to you, starting that foundation, and just what you hope to implement and what you've been doing in that.
Yeah, so for us, it's, you know, my wife and I, we don't look at ourselves as anything or anyone special. We realize that we've been blessed by God to work hard and have ambition. but we've been fortunate to have role models, people in our lives who have just kind of taken the blinders off, as we spoke about earlier, and said, hey, like, look at this. Hey, like, you know, you can go to this school. Hey, you can do this with your life, right? And we realized that there's a lot of kids out there, a lot of young people out there who have the same potential, but they just don't have that person in their lives, that guidance counselor, that parent, that guardian, that grandparent that says, hey, look at this. And so that's what we're trying to do for kids. We understand that with our time and our bandwidth, you know, we don't have the time to hold hands through the whole process. Like, we're very honest about that, but we do take the time and make the time to try to find those kids with potential and expose them to relationships in the network and places where they can create their vision. And with that vision, now they can go and chase it. One of the things we've been talking about, especially this year, is like, if you don't have vision, you know, if you don't have a vision for yourself, how can you ever have hope? You know, like, when you really think about, like, if I can't wake up and think, like, this is what I'm trying to do 20 years from now, not that you know exactly what you want to do, but you don't see anything brighter than your current situation and circumstance, then, like, what is there to hope for? Because I'm already in it, right? Like, so what we're trying to do is help young people formulate their vision. And then in turn, then they can have hope. They can have that motivation. They can have that reason that B. Chubb was a sophomore waking up early to go train and go train a little bit more than somebody else, right? Because he has hope. He has a vision. And so that's what we want to do for people. We do that through events. We do that through what we just did was our annual shopping spree. We call it December to Remember. And we were able to partner and collaborate with other NFL players. So 20 NFL players in total, including myself, and gave 204 families $800 shopping sprees, over 160 grand given away, which, again, you know, we talk about it like it's 3 years ago, 5 years ago, would not have thought that, like, that's what we'd be doing. But again, by being open, as you're going and as you're growing, now you start to think about business different. Now you start to ask different questions. So even in the give back of the foundation, I'm thinking about, okay, so you have so that's how this big foundation does it. Oh, so they get a company match. Oh, so they get this person to donate. Oh, so they do the, So now if I'm able to use my mind to help people, I'll do that all day. Right. You know what I'm saying? I can also put my capital into it, and I can work and put my time. That's what we're doing. We literally actually just finished calling some of the last people on our list to try to get their orders situated on Amazon, right? Like, you got an NFL player just calling a random people in, a random single mother in Tampa and a random person in Detroit, you know? So we put the time in, we roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty, so to speak. But more importantly, like, we are open and willing to figuring out how can we use the blessing and the platform that God has given to us to bless more people? And then in turn, the financial literacy piece, the financial wellness piece comes, we can't always be there. So if we can teach you to fish, then not only are we helping you help your family, but now, more importantly, there's a chance where in the future, you'll be able to help your community as well. And so not that that's your give back at that time, but if that stems from a spark that Beyond the Basics gave to you, we're having that ripple effect long beyond our years on this earth.
And that's awesome. And you mentioned two things I want to highlight. One, you just said teaching how to fish, right? So you can think about it two ways, right? Teaching how to fish is the old parable. You teach a man how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. And so teaching you how to fish, and we try to instill that as well, right? Teaching you how to fish is not saying you're going to catch a fish. It's not going to say you want to be a fisherman, but at least you know you have a fishing pole, you know how to hook that bait, and you know how to cast it, right? And the rest is up to you. And like you said, I can't hold your hand the whole time, right? The bandwidth's not there.
Right.
The opportunity's not there. I have other things that I got to impact with my, you know, platform as well. But being able to one, put you in that position with our resources, with our platform, and using that to be a multiplier of sense, and then really, really putting that power in each individual's hand and letting that take it from there. And then two, you talked about, you know, just the vision, right? And so I like to say, you can't dream of nothing you've never seen. So if I can't, and it goes back to representation, right? If I've never seen a black lawyer on TV when I'm watching sitcoms, why in the world would I dream to be a black lawyer? You know what I'm saying? If all I'm seeing is the MJs, the AIs, the Brandon Copelands and all this, that's what I'm gonna dream about, right? I'm not gonna dream about being a, you know, an anesthesiologist who probably makes, you know, 50,000 per you know, week or doing what he does, but it's life or death, right? But, you know, being able to do that, if I never see that, right? So representation matters, and, you know, having that vision, I think, is huge as well. So let's end this on a lighter note. You've been fortunate enough to play for some great organizations, Detroit, where I met you, then you went to New York, the Jets, and now you're in New England with Belichick. So I'm just curious, because this is one thing, I've been on, you know, four or five teams, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, but I learned the culture, right? I see how people function in the building, how players function in the building, what standards do these coaches hold these players to, what standards do, you know, these GMs hold these, you know, scouts and coaches to, right? And seeing, you know, kind of just the way of the works of each building I'm in. And I'm curious, how is the Patriot way, right? How is New England, how is Belichick playing for him and being under that tutelage?
Yeah, no, it's a full-fledged culture and organization from top down. It's a championship organization. I mean, literally from the moment I signed there, it just felt different. You know, it like people reached out and, you know, my Taylor, my wife was like, you know, it's probably just because it's virtual, you know, it's probably like, cause you typically would have gone up, signed in person, you know, but, and maybe I was overthinking it in my head, but like literally a bunch of people reached out from front office to just the back end administration to the coaches, like, hey, like we our job is to make sure that this is the best year of your career, right? Dang, that says a lot. Like, we're here for you, nutritionists, everybody, right? And so when you created a culture like that, and that's all Coach Belichick, that's Mr. Kraft, that's Burge, that's everybody in that building knows, and they operate in that cloth, that DNA, it's one of the best places in the world to be. For me, for you, for a person with our mindset, where it's like, oh no, like you feel like, oh, I'm with some people who we down the ride together. Like we working together. Oh, y'all trying to do some extra work? Oh, it's not extra. This is what we do. Yeah. This is part of it. Yeah. Oh, that's not,
get it.
That's not extra. Oh, I thought it was extra. All right. Cool. I get it. Yeah. This is normal. You know, so it is an amazing place to be around. It's an amazing experience. And I think for me, I learned so much, not just about football and X's and O's and being detailed in the approach, but I also learned a lot about culture creation and building an organization that is all that gets it. Like when you think about New England, you don't think about an ego. Although there are guys like out of any team in the league, the people, like if you think about it, people have always said, oh, they don't have players, they don't have this, they don't have that. But like they got six Super Bowl rings, right? Like, how did they do that? But that's because you don't get guys in the interviews like, yeah, man, you saw how I did. You saw me catch them touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't happen, right? Mm-hmm. From top down, but that's just more of a culture thing, right? And I think the biggest thing that one of the other things that I learned is like the amount of detail. There literally to be the phrase, there's no stone left unturned. That is it.
Yeah.
That is the secret sauce. Like there is no like, we'll come back for that tomorrow. There's no like, well, what if? Nah, okay, well, let's practice what if. Mm-hmm. Boom. You know, like it's so crazy. And I remember, you know, you think as you get older in the NFL, well, I mean, we know like there's always something you can learn. But like, I remember one time we're on the field, we're getting ready for a game. And I'm sitting there, you know, It's supposed to be a windy the next day. And coach goes, you know, he comes in the huddle. He's like, listen, you know, it's kick return. We talking about kick. Hey, listen, like, and this ain't no crazy secret. This is just one of them, like, oh, aha moments. Yeah. And I'm putting the disclaimer on it in case coach is watching. Like, this ain't no crazy secret, coach. Don't find me. But I'm just like, he's like, so when you get into the stadium, look at it. Like, you throw up some something, the grass, turf, whatever, right? And, you know, you see a little bit of wind. Ah, it's not much, right? That's not really telling you anything. You look at the flags or you look at something else. Like, you know, look at that blowing. That's not really telling you anything. Look all the way up there at the top of the stadium. And we look up. He's like, look at those flags. Look how fast they're blowing. When Jake kicks this ball, that's where the ball is going to be. So you, the returner, you move off of that. Yeah. You lean off of that. And like that's me, hard. I've played in a bunch of games and I'm just sitting there like, I'm like, you just see my eyes just looking like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know, and he's telling us like, get our sets based off of that. You should be in your set knowing like, okay, boom. Okay, cool. Oh, it's going to have to lean this way. I need to, let me run back this way. You know, like, he's like, if you're not, you're wasting time, right? Dang. Like I, you know, and again, that comes from time, knowledge. Right, right. But that's the sauce, right? That's just like, wow. So again, I know that somebody's probably listening right now like, man, that's it. This man looked at some flags. No, like it's just levels and layers right. to that and that process and taking that amount of detail into first down, second down, third down, punt return, et cetera. So it's awesome, man.
No, that's awesome. And obviously that shows throughout their legacy and their career and their track record. And you know, just thinking about programs, right? Because that's the reason I asked that question is because I was in LA with John Fossil. We called him Bones, and now he's on Dallas Cowboys. And I personally think he's the best special teams coach in the league. And what he did for me, right, to keep me in the league that long because of special teams, right? Being able to be a good scout guy or be able to be a good guy on all four downs and give good looks to guys like you who are playing, you know, that weekend and being able to, you know, translate that, right? And then you go to other programs where it might not be the same. The standard might not be as high. People get away with a lot more for a lot less, right? And it's one of those things that I always just was curious, right? Because I admire Belichick and the attention to details they put in and how they utilize and get the most, you know, potential out of each and every guy they sign, whether it's through free agency, through draft, through, you know, undrafted, whatever it may be. So that's an interesting nugget to hear. And obviously it shows on Sunday. So that's awesome, man. And I appreciate you hopping on. Brandon Copeland, Forbes 30 under 30. Congratulations on that as well. I should have opened up with that because that's a huge accomplishment, but glad we got the chat, bro. It's been a minute.
100%, man. 100%. God bless you, man. Thank you for having me. I like podcasts, brother.